الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألا بذكر الله تطمئن القلوب صدق الله العظيم. Most respected علماء الكرام, brothers and elders. Allah Ta'ala has created us and all insan with various needs. Person can remain without food for a short while, but after 5 hours, 6 hours, few more hours will pass, then he will be quite hungry. And then if more hours pass and he has not yet had anything to eat, then he will be starving and the pangs of hunger will be biting within him. So he is so weak in this regard that he cannot pass more than half a day or at the most one day without having eaten something. But that is his weakness, his limitation that Allah Ta'ala has created him with, that he has to eat to survive. That's his need, insan's need. Likewise, he needs water, he needs to rest. If he doesn't sleep and the whole day has gone past and then the whole night went past, 24 hours have gone and for whatever reason he couldn't get sleep, he'll be walking in a daze, his mind won't be functioning, and then Allah forbid what not might then result from it. So he has his need for taking a rest. He's past the day, he has a long day, now the night comes, and he barely can stay awake. So like this, there are various other needs. Person reaches a point in time in his life, he's now reached a certain age, now he has a need to get married, that's part of a need of life. Allah Ta'ala has created insan with all these needs. So just as these are all needs of insan, and our deen being the comprehensive deen that Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with, the most perfect deen, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Hajjatul Wada, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala revealed the ayat of the Quran Sharif. This was now very close to the time of leaving this dunya. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum. That on this day I have perfected for you your deen. Perfect deen Allah gave us. So now this perfect deen, there cannot be anything that is missing in it. Everything has been catered for. So all the needs have been catered for insan, and a very, very balanced method and system has been given to us. Once some sahaba ikram, three sahaba, they had this zeal of ibadat, and this stemmed out of, mashallah, they understood what life is all about, that this life is a very temporary place, we are all headed to the akhirat. And since we are all headed to the akhirat, and we have no idea when suddenly we will step into the hereafter. Because the person who passes away, his qiyamah started. Man mata faqad qamat qiyamatuhu, aw kama qala an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The person who passes away, his own personal qiyamah has started already. Now when that moment comes, nobody has any idea. How many people, they leave in the morning with long, long plans and many, many things that they have scheduled for the day and so many appointments and so many things to do. But before the end of the day, they're already in the qabr. So when that moment comes, nobody knows. So now this reality of life, this was very, very deep down in the hearts of sahaba ikram, and it was ever present in their minds. So now what is most important, that will be given the highest priority. And the most important thing was to make the akhirat. So therefore the zeal of ibadat, that this is what's going to make my akhirat. So I need to exert myself to maximize what I'm going to do for the hereafter. So in any case, in order to get some direction, get some guidance, get some idea what and how they should do things, they thought, why not let's go and inquire from the houses, from the azwaj mutahharat, from the noble wives of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Many sahaba would come to several of the azwaj mutahharat and from behind the parda, they would ask questions of deen, because they would know many things which the ummah had to learn. So any case, they said, why not go and do this? So they came. They came to a few places. And now they were informed of the details. But now they already had some concept in their mind. And they had just come to ask. But that concept in their mind was already in a certain manner where they expected that the answer that will come is that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not sleep one wink. The whole night he's in ibadat. And was already, this concept was in their mind. So when they asked and inquired, they were told that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes and how he conducts his time at home, that he has time for everybody, has time for things, has time for his ibadat, has time for rest. So now when they finished off, when they sat down to discuss this, so in the Hadith Sharif, it is mentioned, كَأَنَّهُمْ تَقَالُّوهَا. It was as if this appeared to be something lesser than what they expected. But then immediately they refocused themselves, that look, we are not in a position to compare ourselves with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In other words, if he didn't spend the entire night in ibadat, for him it's fine. Because Allah Ta'ala has already announced that he has not a dot of anything of accountability. The Anbiya alayhim as-salam are ma'asum. Allah Ta'ala has forgiven everything. There's nothing that ever happens from them that is anything out of line. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanallah, if he didn't make any extra ibadat also, for him it's fine. But we're not in that category. We cannot expect that we're going to take it easy and everything will be fine for us. We have to exert ourselves. So they decided between the three of them. One person said, I'm going to perform salah the entire night, every night. I'm never going to sleep. So the other person said, I will fast every day. There won't be a day that I will skip. Nafil fast, every day of the year that is permissible to fast, I will fast every day. The third person said, I'm making a decision, I'm not going to get married now. I'm just going to dedicate and devote myself to ibadat. So any case, somehow this discussion of theirs, this thing filtered down, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam got to hear of it. So he came personally, maybe a day later, whenever he got them, he came personally to them, and he sat them down and asked, did you people discuss this? Did you all make these kind of decisions? Somebody decided he's never going to sleep the whole night, make ibadat the whole night. Somebody decided he's never going to skip a day, he's going to fast every day, etc. So they said yes. And then even mentioned that, look, this is how we analyzed it, that we are not ma'asum, we have so many weaknesses of ours, so we need to exert ourselves in ibadat so that we make our akhirat. Imam sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to them, that amma wallah, inni la'akhshakum lillahi wa atqakum lahu. First and foremost, understand this very clearly, that I am the personality, Allah has blessed me with this, that the greatest amount of fear of Allah Ta'ala I have. And the greatest amount of taqwa I have. Obviously this was a fact, this was a reality, who could compare? And this was for the sake of them to understand that look, what I'm saying to you coming next is not based on any convenience, based on just some other matter. It's based on taqwa. It's based on deen. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to them that, look, I have the greatest level of taqwa. And I have the greatest level of fear of Allah Ta'ala. But what is my system of life? فَإِنِّي أَصُومُ وَأُفْتِرُ. I fast also. Obviously the farz everybody has to keep. Meaning the nawafil. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, among the standard aspects was, he would fast every Monday, every Thursday. Then in the month, the 3 days in the month, the Ayyamul Bid, the 13th, 14th and 15th of the lunar month. This would be standard, he would fast in these 3 days. There were some other days in the week sometimes also that he would fast. So it was filled with a lot of fast, mashallah. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying to them, فَإِنِّي أَصُومُ وَأُفْتِرُ. There are days I fast, and there are days I don't keep fast also. I skip some days as well. وَأُصَلِّي وَأَرْقُدْ. There's part of my night for ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. There's part of my night to even rest, to sleep for a while. And وَأَتَزَوَّجُ النِّسَىٰ. And I'm already married. So the person who made this decision that I'm not going to marry, well, I am married as well. And then on this occasion, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that portion of the Hadith Sharif, which we often hear when a nikah is being performed, which is also a separate hadith, فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. It was on this occasion it was said. That look, this is my way. Sunnah, my way of life. This is my way of life. Complete balance. فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. The one who he turns away from my way of life, then he is not part of me. Then he is not on my path. He is doing something of his own then. He is not following what I have presented to the Ummah. So the lesson in this, the lesson deen, mashallah, is complete, it's perfect, it's comprehensive. It has taken care of all our needs and given us this guidance. And in fact cautioned us, don't do things beyond what deen has presented to you. What Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's perfect way of life, what he has presented. We go on the other extreme, unfortunately, that we sometimes have no part of the night for ibadat. Or perhaps the day might go past, the farz may get done, alhamdulillah. But apart from that, it appears like there's never anything else left to do. So that is another extreme. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us that, look, our purpose of life is ibadat. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. To recognize Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and to devote ourselves to Him. But being insan and the needs Allah created in insan, then all these needs have been taken care of. One of the needs that this human being has, this insan has, so he gets physically tired, he needs to rest. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us this, that wa usalli wa arqud, this part of the night that I make ibadat, this part of the night I sleep as well. Likewise, this insan, just as his body gets tired, he needs a rest, deen has taken care of something further as well. That his mind also gets sometimes tired, he needs some mental relaxation. So this is not something that is that deen is averse to. Our perfect deen has taken care of this as well. But this is the starting point. Deen has taken care of it. So in other words, deen is the primary starting point. Everything for a Muslim, the starting point is his deen. Person is a businessman, he's a Muslim businessman. He starts off on the note that I have Islam to live. So everything about my business will be within the confines of Islam because I'm a Muslim first. Person is a professional, he's a Muslim professional. So everything about his profession will be within the limits what deen and Islam has given him because he's a Muslim first. And he can be anything in life, he's a Muslim first. So first he will take care of what deen has commanded. And within that framework of deen, then whatever Allah has permitted him to do, he'll do. So the point is that this too, this mental relaxation, this little need for a person to relax his mind, to take a break as we call it, that too, deen has taken care of it. But obviously when deen has taken care of it, deen has a guideline to it, has certain rules and regulations about it. And the most fundamental rule about it is that when taking a break in, deen has accommodated it, we don't take a break in a way that we break deen. That trample Allah Ta'ala's laws, I need to take a break now, it's end of the year. So now, like the rest of the dunya is carrying on, and how people without deen are carrying on, so now I got to be part of the crowd as well. I have to also take a break like they break, and in the process break deen, break the laws of Allah Ta'ala. That's not a mu'min's way. A mu'min, his primary concern is that he must protect his deen, must protect Allah Ta'ala's command, and be steadfast on the way of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Within that, whatever Allah Ta'ala has allowed for, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us that guideline, by all means. If we open the books of Hadith Sharif, we'll find many books of Hadith have a specific chapter. One specific chapter, there's one compilation of Hadith Sharif, the Shama'ilul Muhammadiyya by Imam Tirmizi rahimahullah. Now this is dedicated to collecting the ahadith about Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All aspects of his life, his physical features, his day-to-day life, to the extent of what he possessed, his swords, what kind of swords, the names of it sometimes are there. And detail, many ahadith have been collected in this. Now obviously all the details are there. There's one chapter in this. One chapter that has been dedicated to Ma Ja'a fi Mizahin Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The chapter about the light-heartedness of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who could have greater fikr and concern? We already heard the Hadith Sharif, where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself declared, I have the greatest level of the fear of Allah ta'ala, the greatest amount of taqwa. But did that mean that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was aloof from everybody in his home also? That when he walked into the home, he walked straight onto the musalla? When he walked into the home, he had nothing to do with anybody? No, he had time for everyone. And part of that, even with the Azwajul Mutahharat, with the noble wives of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, though Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself was beyond all these things, but for their purposes, he would engage in light-heartedness with them as well. Why? Because this is part of this mental relaxation. That there's some time to sort of make things calm, make things light. So he would joke with the Azwaja Mutaharat. He would say things light-heartedly to them. There would be these general conversations with that general conversation, obviously, the conversation of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that general conversation also led to a lesson of deen. That general conversation also, it gave some guidelines to how to uplift one's akhlaq. It brought about various lessons, but there was this lightheartedness, there was this general conversations. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he says, once the Sahaba, Nabi Islam would joke with them as well, from time to time. They, one time, with this also, this thought in mind, this presumption, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is on such an elevated position, perhaps this position requires that he does not even joke. So now, not that because they felt something was wrong about it, but they were finding this little bit difficulty in reconciling this. Then how do we reconcile it in our minds? So they in fact asked, that Ya Rasulullah, innaka tuda'ibuna, you sometimes joke with us? So the response was, وَلَا أَقُولُ إِلَّا حَقَّ. Yes, I joke sometimes. I joke because it makes things a little bit light, it creates a little bit happiness, it brings some cheer on people's faces, it makes people feel nice, and making somebody happy within the limits of deen, for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. This is an ibadat also. Among the greatest ibadats after the faraiz, إِدْخَالُ السُّرُورِ فِي قَلْبِ الْمُؤْمِنِ, bringing happiness to the heart of a mu'min. Doing something just to make somebody happy. But unfortunately, we just do things to make ourselves happy. And sometimes at the expense of other people's heartache and difficulty. Whereas to bring some happiness to somebody, nothing else. Just some gesture of bringing some happiness to somebody. And somebody, the whole world sometimes we think about, it starts off at home. It starts off right in our own homes, within the four walls of our homes. How we entered the house someday and what line we opened the whole discussion with in a way that brought some cheer to somebody. How we conducted ourselves in a manner that made somebody happy. It starts off with our own parents. So now in any case, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was asked that you sometimes joke with us. He said, La aqulu illa haqqa. Yes, I joke. But whatever I say is only truth. That lightheartedness doesn't cross any line. Doesn't exceed any boundaries. Not that in a manner of joking, there's some lying involved. In the manner of joking, la aqulu illa haqqa, meaning there's nothing in that joke that offends anybody, causes any hurt to someone. Sometimes that's the only way we know how to joke, how to be lighthearted, in a way that will mock someone and jeer somebody. And in the process, that person might be smiling just to keep things calm and not upset the apple cart. But inside his heart is breaking. This person is making fun of me. This person is now running me down, ridiculing me, mocking me. And at my expense, everybody is having a hearty laugh. It's a very delicate line to ensure that the joke, that lightheartedness is in its place. But is it causing any offense to somebody? Then it's sinful. If somebody is being hurt by it, then it has become a sin. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave us one very simple and clear guideline that wherever this mental relaxation, this taking a break, this is going to be done, it will be done la aqulu illa haqqa. It will be done within the limits of haqq, within the limits of the deen that Allah Ta'ala has given us, the perfect deen. Because our life is not for this life. Our life in dunya, we are on a journey. Our destination is Jannat. The person is on a journey now. He's on his way somewhere to whatever holiday destination of his. And Allah forbid sometimes, the holiday destinations are planned in advance. For where? For venues of sin. So now when a person is going to go to a venue of sin, what is going to end up doing there? What is going to be the outcome with his iman? What kind of consciousness of Allah Ta'ala is going to leave from there? What zeal of deen and ibadat is going to leave from there? He'll come with that heart dead and with that entire enthusiasm for his salah, for tilawat. Deen hasn't prohibited us from taking a break, but not by breaking deen itself. Going to a place where Allah's laws are being flouted completely, blatant disobedience of Allah Ta'ala is taking place. So in any case, the point was that a person now, this light-heartedness, this too is the very clear parameters that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given us within the limits of deen. On an occasion, Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha, she explains, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went on a journey, so she said, I accompanied him. So many sahaba were with, they were on whatever expedition it was. So sometimes Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would take some of the Azwaj-e Mutahharat along. So we came to some open place, meaning along. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to the sahaba, all of you move ahead. Taqaddamu. All go, carry on. Don't worry about us, we are here. So when everybody was gone ahead, out of sight. Gone ahead, out of sight. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, come, I'm going to race you now. So she said, well, I raced him. Said, at that time I was still very young and I hadn't picked up any weight as such. So I beat him in that race. Meaning there was some point now, we're going to run up to that point. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidul Anbiya'i wa Rusul, the greatest of Allah's makhluk. And as one poet summed it up in one Urdu couplet, Ba'adas khuda buzruk tu'i qissa mukhtasar. After Allah Ta'ala is only the rank of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he found this time, and with all the concern of the entire ummah, but he gave this little time, not that he needed it, but to bring this cheer, this little happiness. But the very important point, that what where it started off from, taqaddamu, sent everybody else out of sight first. So there was this little light time, but it didn't transgress any law of Allah Ta'ala. It was teaching us that look, there will be this need a little bit, but that need will be fulfilled within Allah's deen, within the laws of deen. A person say, no, I need to refreshen myself, I need to be fit and healthy. Where? In a gym. Which kind of gym? Where all kinds of nudity and immorality and all is part of the norm. Say, no, I have to be fit. To be a strong Muslim is a very good thing. MashaAllah, strong Muslim. That strong Muslim starts off in his heart. By the time he comes out of the gym, his heart will be dead. He might be physically a little bit stronger. So it starts off first looking after our iman and deen. Nobody has prohibited anyone. Rather, that's encouraged to be taking some, engaging some exercises, whatever, physical fitness, but not at the expense of iman fitness. Not at the expense of becoming physically strong and iman weak. Maintaining the strength of iman and building the physical strength as well. That deen has given us. So this is the message and the lesson that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught on this occasion. Sayyidah Aisha says yet another occasion came. He says this time I beat him. Much later, maybe some years passed. Says this whole incident was gone out of my mind. And now once again we were on a journey somewhere. Again, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to the Sahaba, Taqaddamu, everybody go ahead, out of sight. Now, Taqaddamu, out of sight. Now, person says, no, I need to also do this and that and the other. Muslim sisters are doing this, that and the other. But is the law of hijab being fulfilled? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam first took them, everybody else, move ahead, all out of sight. Now when everybody was out of sight, it became a private space. It became a completely, it was an open place, but became a private space at that time. And now in this privacy, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, come, let's race again. So now they raced again. He says, this time now around I had picked up a bit of weight and so on. I was not as fast as previously. So this time he beat me. And after he beat me, he laughed and said to me, you see, I've evened the score up now. Last time you beat me, this time I've done it. So now it's all even. But now this was the example, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the greatest of Allah Ta'ala's creation, with all the greatest amount of responsibilities on him, and the entire figure of the whole ummah, which nobody can come one small fraction close to that amount. But with all that, he presented this example to, that keeps everything in balance, but balance. All this is like salt in the food. And without the salt, that food has no taste. But now somebody added the salt. First it was without any salt. So he sprinkled some salt, mashallah, and then took a few morsels. Subhanallah, what a difference in the taste. So what made the difference? The salt made the difference. So, well, if the salt made the difference, this little bit sprinkled on it made the difference. So now that was like about a teaspoonful. One teaspoonful in this pot made such a difference. Rather, put one cupful. So now he's going to put one cupful. What's going to be the outcome? Won't be possible to eat it. So the salt is necessary, but the salt has its own proportion. If it exceeds its proportion, then that too will make the food bitter. So our deen, Allah Ta'ala has blessed us complete, perfect way of life. Everything has been taken care of, but we should not lose sight that what is our destination. Now this person on that holiday, we talk, go and reach a certain destination, but now he's getting caught up on all the amusements on the road. So when he's going to reach? By the time he reaches, he's out of every pocket and everything. Nobody does that. He does whatever is required, but he's got his focus on the destination. Our holiday is really Jannat. What can dunya really offer? Without compromising deen, a person took one small break somewhere, alhamdulillah, no problem. To refresh the mind. What is the purpose? Refresh the mind, body, so that I can get back to my purpose of life in a more energized manner. Not for the sake of doing something, just for the sake of doing it because the whole world is doing something. No, a mu'min does things because there's an objective in it. And his objective is always something that's going to help him in the hereafter. Because it's not even sure whether we'll return alive from that holiday. It might be from there we go on to akhirat. So we have to all the time be concerned that what we do, how we go about things, we don't cross the line of deen, we don't displease our Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and the real consolation, the peace of the heart, doesn't come from these things. It's everything in its place. The primary thing is, to the extent a person is connected to Allah ta'ala, and to the extent that he's obedient to Allah ta'ala, Allah bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub, with the obedience, zikr of Allah ta'ala, the obedience of Allah ta'ala. Included in that, all the amal, the tasbihat, zikr, tilawat, the primary thing in zikr is Allah's obedience. It is with the obedience of Allah ta'ala that the hearts get peace, that contentment, that happiness, it comes out of the obedience of Allah ta'ala. Allah ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.